Welcome to the St. Michael Daily Meditations for Lent. My name is Ken Brannan, and I'll be leading our meditation today. Our theme this Lent is In the Garden. When Jesus faced his deepest trial, he prayed in the garden. As we struggle with our own trials, Jesus walks with us and calls us to a deeper life of prayer and commitment to God's love. As Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, through chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. I speak to you as sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the same bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What do I imply then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Do not seek your own advantage, but that of others. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience, for the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it, out of consideration for the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I mean the other's conscience, not your own. For why should my liberty be subject to the judgment of someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why should I be denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that many may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. Here ends the reading. I think we sometimes underestimate the power of Holy Communion. As good Episcopalians, we come forward when the ushers direct us. We stand or kneel at the rail. We receive the bread and the wine. And then we return to our seats and kneel or sit quietly until the post-communion prayer begins. It's a perfectly fine ritual, but do we understand what we're doing? Most of us understand from the Eucharistic prayer that when we receive the bread and the wine, we are receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In the Anglican tradition, we believe that Christ is truly present in the sacrament. We don't demand literal transformation, nor do we view communion as merely symbolic. We accept that Jesus Christ is truly present in communion without trying to nail down exactly how. But we often don't give it more thought than that. In fact, receiving the service of communion is a profound act. Here is some of what is happening. We are healed. Through the course of the liturgy, as we gather, listen, pray, confess our sins, show the sign of peace, offer ourselves to God, receive communion, and then go out, we are made new people and healed of the sin that constricts and confines us. Also, we are strengthened. In Eucharistic prayer C, we find these wonderful words: "Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal." Yes, we are healed, but we are also strengthened to become the people that God intends. We are connected. This is what Paul is getting at in the lesson for today. He is reminding the Corinthian church that they are members of the body of Christ and united in mission and purpose. What one member does or doesn't do affects every other member. We're not islands. In Paul's context, he was dealing with how to deal with food offered to idols. But in our context, it could be how we express disagreement in the public square or how we care for our vulnerable neighbors. Communion unites us and brings us together, even as we retain our godly diversity. As Christians, we can never say to another person in the pew, "I have no need of you." And finally, we are sent. Communion is not just for our own healing. Communion is for the healing of the world. If we participate in the service of communion, but then go out and live utterly unchanged and unredeemed lives, then our religious practice is a farce, and our spiritual well-being is at risk. That's why in the absolution the priest says, "And by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life." Apart from the grace and mercy of God, we cannot walk the way of love. So what happens in the service of communion? We are healed, we are strengthened, we are connected, and we are sent. We express that in a very distilled way in the liturgy of the Eucharist, but it's how we embody the love of Christ outside the church building that reveals whether we truly understand the mystery of communion or not. Amen. Please join me as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us, and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.